Canceling plans because your knees hurt? Nope, not anymore. Get to Joint Relief Institute. Safe, fast, immediate pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Welcome to a very, very special, this is how we'll do it. We'll do it like the sitcom style, like a special episode of Career Conversations. I'm your host, Michael Piff, and I'm being joined by WGN Radio's Mary Vandeveld, who is doing her very first podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Right now. She sounds so excited
this
about
is very
it.
Very exciting.
And Mary, this is going to be fun. We're going to talk about your career that you already said was the most awesome career ever. But the way we start all of these conversations is with a shout out to your high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Go for it.
Go Willowbrook Warriors. Woo.
And what were you like in high school?
Okay, but Willowbrook, I have to say, is in Villa Park. It's
in
not
Park.
In the town of Willowbrook because everybody gets confused.
Do you feel like
that.
You have to explain that to everybody?
Yes. Yes. I don't know. What
is the high school in Willowbrook then?
I don't think they have one.
Oh.
Because it's a small town. So I don't think they have a high school.
We haven't gone there yet for your hometown yet.
Yes. You probably won't.
No. But following up, what were you like in high school?
What was I like in high school? Wow.
You didn't think we were going to go that far.
No. I didn't think about that. I guess I was a pom-pom girl, so I was considered a rah-rah. You know, I wasn't a
rah-rah.
Yeah, I wasn't a burnout or, you know, somebody who's hung out in the smoking lounge, which, by the way, we did have a smoking lounge at Willowbrook High School.
It sounds like the
days.
Outsiders movie where you have the soaps and the socias.
We had different groups. So, you know, we had the kind of nerdy people. We had the rah-rahs with the pom-pom girls, the cheerleaders, that kind of thing. And then we had the creatives. I don't know what we called them back then. People were in music and arts and band and things like that. And then we had the jocks, and then we had the burnouts.
And so you fit yourself into the rah-rahs.
Yes, but I also was very musical. I was in choir. I did a lot of musicals. I choreographed in high school. I was the captain of the pom-poms.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Was there a special name for pom-poms at Willowbrook back then?
No, just the Willowbrook Poms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you did you have an idea of what you wanted to do back then for your career?
I thought I was going to be a history teacher.
Really?
I have no idea why.
What were the interests there? There was
I liked history.
Yeah.
And I was very into it. That was my favorite subject, I think. So I really wanted to be a dancer, but I knew that wasn't going to work out. So I said, I better have something to fall back on. So a teacher, I thought I was going to
be a teacher. And then you went to the University of Illinois.
Went to University of Illinois.
What brought you there?
Peer pressure, friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the day, I think a lot of kids in my – I'm one of seven children. So there were a lot of kids went to Northern, Marquette in my family, St. Teresa College in Winona, Minnesota. Nobody had gone to U of I. And
oh, okay.
Back, it was cheaper, actually, back in the day, you know, in the 80s.
Being like a state school.
Yeah, being a state school. And my mom was like, hey, what about University of Illinois? It's close. My mom did not like to drive too far.
Okay.
So, and a couple of my friends were going there. So I said, sure. My best friend was going there. So I think that's really what got me.
And what were some of the things you did at Illinois? I mean, these are a lot of conversations. So Mary and I, we take laps around the station.
Yes, we are the walkers.
We are the walkers.
Day
walkers. The regular day walkers. And so we know a lot about each other, but
yes.
This is like our first like formal getting to know in podcast form here. So what did you do at Illinois? That like what were some of the activities you did?
Well, kind of the same thing I did in high school. It was really – well, you know when you're like in high school and you're not at the top, I would say, but you know you've done a lot of things. You're involved in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to college and you're like, oh, what happened to everything? You know,
everything
that mattered
changed.
Is gone. I need stuff to do. I call my mom once a week, you know, or my mom, my dad, and then I study and I'm in the dorms and, you know, you go to frat parties or whatever. You start getting involved in
mm-hmm.
that. I became a little sister at a sorority. I joined a sorority sophomore year.
Which sorority?
I waited. Sigma, Sigma, Sigma.
Okay.
Tri-Sigs, which is no longer there, by the way. We killed it. So...
No. In your time there, you killed it?
No, it actually died about 3 years after I left.
Oh, wow. So it was on the way out.
It was, and it had just come back after a revival, and then brought it back, and we killed it. We never had a house officially.
Okay.
So I think that's what did us in. But anyway, so I was in a sorority. I found a choir, a community choir that I joined because I really missed singing.
So community,
even though I was never a good singer.
Champaign Urbana,
yes.
So not necessarily a school one, but it was.
It was called the Oratorical Society, I believe. I think
that's
what it was called. Yeah. And so it was a bunch of adults, you know, and a couple students here and there, and did that. I became an Alinette, which I tried out for sophomore year, finally made the squad, which was a part of the Marching Illini.
Oh, very cool. Yes.
So I was a dancer / marcher. So we marched around, we danced.
Did they have Chief Illiniwek back then too?
Because
Chief Illiniwek was part of the drum line. Am I wrong about that? Or
Chief Illiniwek was by himself.
By himself,
he was
his own thing. Okay,
the chief. But he did come out at halftime and pre-show and did his big 3-in-1. They called it.
Got it.
And so we were friends with the chief. The chief traveled on the bus with us. Came with. He was supposed to be a secret, but the marching band people knew who the chief was. The very, very prestigious thing to be.
There's a thing nowadays where there are mascot reveals of who's been like the mascot until like they graduated. But like with that outfit, you kind of knew who that person was, right? Because it wasn't like they were wearing like a mask or anything like that.
No, but they had all the makeup on.
Oh, that's true.
You know, the Native American headdress.
Got
it. The headdress, and they had the whole thing. So you really could not tell who he was.
Was it in college you got interested in radio?
Yes. Yes. So I don't know why.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
I guess what brought you?
I guess sophomore year, you could not decide to be in broadcast journalism till sophomore year. So I was thinking of journalism because I like to write.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, maybe journalism would be a thing to go because I was in liberal arts, you know. And so I went into journalism. Then once you were in journalism, you had to choose between broadcast journalism or newspaper journalism writing.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of go either one. So I went broadcast, decided to do that, looked up the local radio station, WPGU. John Hansen also worked there.
Oh, that's right.
As well. And so did Andrea Dowerless, who used to work here. And so I started working there, and the thing that was hilarious about it, I started doing newscasts there, is that it kind of coincided with my Alinette schedule. They wanted me to work on the weekends. So a funny story, one day I had to do the game, and so I had my Alinette outfit on. And the radio station was very – how do I say it? It was a rock station.
Okay.
So it was a lot of – Burnouts.
Once
again, worked at this radio station. So I'm like, I cannot walk into that radio station in my white boots and my fringe and my sequins. So I like
– Who are you worried about? Like,
the guy in the air, the disc jockey. I didn't want it that kind of persona that I was just this goody-two-shoes girl in my little white boots. So I went into the bathroom, changed my clothes, put on jeans, whatever, came out, did my newscast, and, you know, then I went home. So I don't think anybody at that radio station knew I was in Alinette, which was okay.
I feel like there's a TV show or script here for this, like, like the double life of Mary Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I kind of was incognito, you know, but I only worked on the weekends at the I think I did like one shift. And then I also worked at the public TV station, which was WILL TV.
Okay, so you're doing TV and radio.
Yes. So I worked there, but I just like changed slides. You know, it was a PBS station.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed slides and did that. And that was also weekend because I wanted to make a little money, you know, and, and they did pay. So I don't know. I did a lot in college, I guess. I was, you know, on the sorority board. I think Rush director. Yeah, I was the rush director.
Rush director. That's a big deal, though.
A big job.
Yeah.
Especially in the summer.
That's recruitment.
Recruit.
Yeah.
Everybody. I guess I didn't do a very good job since it did.
I mean,
it did die. But oops.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. So then, you know, I lived in a dorm. I lived in an apartment. I lived in a sorority house. and back in an apartment. So.
And then what was the first job out of college then?
Okay. All right. So first job out of college, I did not have a job out of college in radio, TV. I was working for my father's company at the time just to, you know, I did that every summer as well when I was home, which was also a traffic-related company. My dad owned a traffic safety company, which made traffic barricades, you know, they call them horses, and signs. And put up lane closures on the highways, did all that kind of stuff. So I was kind of in the same field, but I didn't know that. I was going to end up doing traffic. But anyway, so you had to find jobs through trade publications back then. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you could look on the internet and find a job.
You didn't have the internet.
You didn't have the internet. We didn't have that. We had a phone. You know, we could call people. You could make cold calls to various radio stations, say, hey, are you looking for anybody to work in news? You know, that kind of thing. So I had a trade publication, a radio trade publication. That's how I found the jobs. And I was going for a small market radio or TV job. So that's what I was searching for.
When you were looking for a small market job, was that – advice you got from somebody to do that, or?
We did not get much help back then from the U of I, I have to say. You know, a lot of schools came in and, you know, engineer companies come in, all kinds of healthcare companies come in and try to recruit, whatever. Teachers, they didn't have that for broadcast back then. So the only one who did came in, I'll never forget, was Ted Turner's. So
the superstation
out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So CNN. Okay. CNN was just starting back then. Just starting. So I was like, I'm going to try, you know, and I don't remember what happened. If I tried to get an interview or I didn't get an interview or I blew it off. Don't remember. Did not go that route. Should have gone that route. Kicked myself in the pants. Did not do that. I went home, you know, with nothing. And they did not really tell us what to do in college. I just figured it out by myself. There were a couple other girls that were trying to figure it out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy I knew wanted to be a cameraman. He decided to give that up and went somewhere else, went into a different profession. So anyway, I had a couple interviews. I had one in Indiana. I didn't get that. And then I had an interview in a small town in northern Wisconsin.
Where at?
By Hayward, Wisconsin.
Hayward, Wisconsin.
By Hayward.
By Hayward. The fact that you can't say that it was exactly where it is. It's far north. Okay.
So it's 8 hours away.
Yeah.
8 hours away. But I was like, okay, this is the only thing I've really had, you know, and they were looking for a news director. And I'm like, how can I be a news director? I haven't even been in the worked, you know, except at WPGU. But I went up there and it was a culture shock because it was a small station, but it was a state-of-the-art station, the most beautiful station I've ever seen. 100,000 watts. It covered three states. So, because we were up by Duluth. So it covered Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan because we were by the UP. So covered all these stations, WBWA. Say that three times.
WBWA.
Yeah,
so sound like Porky Pig.
So WBWA.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Bayfield, Washburn, Ashland were those three call letters.
Okay.
And that's where it was, way up in the north. And it was owned by an anesthesiologist who operated on Ronald Reagan, when he was shot.
Wow.
He was the anesthesiologist for that surgery. And he owned this station as a hobby.
As a hobby.
He was a doctor in Bayfield, Wisconsin, as a hobby.
Well, thank goodness for him.
Yeah. I mean, I only met him one time. He's deceased now, but I had only met him one time. And I was hired by the program director at the time, and he took one look at me. I walked in with a skirt, a suit, and high heels to northern Wisconsin. And everybody in there was like, who is this girl from Chicago coming in to the woods to work here? Is she crazy? But I got the job.
So what was the, was it the news director job?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I did not know what I was doing. And there was another man there named Stuart, and he was the morning anchor. And that was all they had was Stuart. And then they had some correspondence from at various places, which was really cool. There were a lot of there's a lot of Indian reservations there in that area. So we covered the reservations. We had a reporter that did that. So I organized all these correspondents, found them in all these different locations. And I worked the morning drive. Stuart went to the afternoons. And that was back in the day when we had to type everything on a manual typewriter. So
we had to type
every news story on a manual typewriter.
Kids these days don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It took forever. So for me to prepare, you know, a newscast every half hour, it took me a good half hour to write enough news. So, yeah, that was my...
That was your first job. So,
first job, and I was there 2.5 years.
When did traffic become part of your job?
After that job, I moved to a media market. I moved to Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to the Quad Cities in Iowa. And then I started having children because I got married in between. Oh, by the way, I met my husband up at my first
job. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so we kind of were in that together because he was a DJ. A host at the time. And so he traveled with me to various radio stations in Madison, Wisconsin. And then by the time I got back to Illinois, I did not have a news job. And I was hired by the Illinois News Network.
The Illinois News Network.
The Illinois News Network, yes.
Okay.
That was part. And then I started working at the Satellite Music Network, which was a syndicated station in Mokena, Illinois that had a bunch of nationwide stations.
Gotcha.
Bunch of people. Steve Ruxton from the newsroom also worked there. Bunch of us. And I worked there. These were all part-time jobs because I was having children.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all whatever I could get. News. All news jobs. I worked at The Score. I worked at WMAQ. I worked at The Mix. All part-time.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't realize all that.
Oh, yeah. I've got a call letter list. It's the alphabet.
That's incredible.
Asked for traffic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was in between news jobs at the time. A friend of mine who was in the business named Jim Sharp, who did the Illinois News Network, who ran the Illinois News Network, called me and he said, Mary, I'm in a pinch. He goes, I know you've never done traffic before. And I'm like, no. He said, but... we are doing WMAQ and The Score. They were starting a new traffic network called Metro Networks. So far there was Shadow Network back in the day. This was going to be Metro Networks. He had started it. He said the girl who just got hired to do traffic on the ones every 10 minutes could not take it. She left. I won't say her name. But she
could not take it.
she said it was too stressful.
Uh-huh.
It was too – could you possibly try to do it? I go, traffic. I don't know. I don't even know how to do it. And, you know, he said, it's really easy. And I go, oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of roads in this town. There's a lot of highways. There's a lot of tollways. I don't know. I went in. I was just thrown into the fire, literally. And
off the deep end.
Off the deep end, traffic on the ones. Yes. And so I started doing the Scores traffic. I was the first traffic reporter on The Score when it because the
so
Score
what year
started
is this?
Up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what year was this? Okay.
I mean,
90
early 90s or later?
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
Early 90s. Yes, cuz 96. All right, yes, early 90s. And The Score, and then I went to WMAQ, and then we worked out of the Merchandise Mart at the time.
I remember there being a line of radio stations there.
Yes,
yeah.
But our Metro traffic was in the Merchandise Mart.
Yeah.
And I just remember I was 9 months pregnant and I had to run down the hallway to go to the bathroom because there was one bathroom. And the Merchandise Mart is 2 blocks long.
It's pretty long, yeah.
Yeah, and the bathrooms are in the center of it. And we were at one end. And I would go, okay, I have 6.5 minutes. Boom! And I would sprint and come back. Andy Mazur also worked there at the time. And he would laugh at me.
How did you kind of find your groove with traffic? Like you said, you kind of had to figure it out on your own almost.
Yeah, I had a lot of help from producers who at Metro Traffic. Mike Lorber was one of my main guys who helped me a lot. He does Skycam 5 for Channel 5. He's worked there forever. And he actually made big lists for me and a traffic booklet of all of, you know, everything you need to know about traffic and what's the Jane Byrne Interchange, which was back then the Spaghetti Bowl and the, you know, all the other – the Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of different names for every highway and tollway, and he really helped me. Even though I was from Chicago, it didn't matter. You still really needed to know.
And when people are tuning in, they're kind of getting to know the lingo as they listen, I guess, right? Unless they know everything, the different names and stuff.
I mean, the truckers are different from, you know, people that drive it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is, you know, I-90 and... there's just so many different names, you know, I-90 and the Kennedy, I-90-94 starts at the Edens, the Kennedy, then it goes to the Ryan, then it goes to the Bishop Ford,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's all one road. It's just called all those, you know, different names in between from the Kennedy to the Bishop Ford to the Ryan, blah, blah, blah. It drives you crazy. And then I-90, which is the Jane Addams, which goes
right
out west. You know, the only one who doesn't have a name is the Tri-State, which is 294.
I don't think I realized it doesn't really have
a name.
Yeah, you just say Tri-State.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then 88 is used to be the East-West, and now it's the Obama, and then, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the Reagan.
The Reagan, right.
The Reagan now, so all the presidents are all incorporated. It's just...
Don't you love when one gets changed after a while?
No, and they did that with the Bishop Ford.
Right.
You know, when it was the Calumet, and
yep.
then they decided the Bishop Ford. And the one that screwed me up the most was the DeSable Lakeshore Drive.
I remember that. I remember being here when that happened, and then listening to you figure it out.
And I'm like, I don't want to say all that. It's, you know, we used to just say LSD.
Yep.
Couldn't really say that. So then it was just Lakeshore Drive, which is such a cool name. And then you got to throw the DeSable in front of it. But we do it because they tell us we have to. So,
how long have you been a part of WGN Radio?
Since 1997.
1997. How did that begin?
Is that 28, 29 years? When I was working at Metro Traffic and WMAQ went, I think it was over at that time. And then there was an audition for The Mix or WGN.
Mm-hmm.
We had auditions going on back then. And the one, The Mix, was going to be more of a off-the-cuff, not straightforward traffic report, more of a fun traffic reporting style.
A fun traffic report.
Yeah, you know, like, I can't even do
I like
it.
That.
You know, and
I like that person.
People do rap traffic or,
oh, geez.
You know, make it fun type of thing. And
sounds like too much work.
And they never really gave it a lot of quality to mm-hmm. the traffic report because it was more like, you only had like 15 seconds, so they could give like two roads, you know, two delays, one on the Kennedy, one on the Eisenhower. That was it. Whereas when we did traffic on the 8s or traffic on the 1s or whatever at the time when I started at GN, I think it was every 15 minutes back then, we could give a whole minute. You know, of course, then we had a commercial, which was 15 seconds,
gotcha.
So 45 seconds. But anyway, they needed a traffic person at the time because Evelyn Holmes was leaving. She was one of our traffic reporters. Awesome job. And I had to audition. So I had to come in and audition with Bob Collins. I was a wreck.
What is that process like?
just come on in.
Come on in.
And do a couple reports. And I just did it during his show a couple of times.
So you did it live then?
It was like a live audition. And at this point, I had already been doing the traffic on the ones for 5 years. So I kind of already had that, you know, going for me. And I auditioned and then Bob called me in again. And Bob, I think, had to make the decision.
I think
it was his show. I mean, he, you know, I was very scared. He kind of was intimidating.
How long was that process?
Probably a couple weeks.
Okay.
I would think. Yeah. Don't remember. But, you know, I was having kids back. It's just my brain is a fog.
So when you're getting started on the Bob Collins show, who's all a part of that group?
Wow. Dave Ennett was a part of the group.
Very good friend, Dave Ennett.
Yes. And Tom Peterson was the newsman.
Okay.
Back then. And it was just a small group. You know, of course, Orion was always here.
Right.
So we had Orion doing business and agribusiness. And I believe it was Dave Ennett. Yeah, it had to have been. Yeah, and me doing traffic. But back then, traffic was not you were not a part of the show. You were not okay. Like right now. I consider myself a part of the show, Lisa yeah. Dent's show, more as a personality, which I love. Which I'd much rather do that than traffic. Sorry, but you know that's just the way it is. It's more fun. So back then, it was just like do traffic, shut up. But, you know, unless you have something extra to say, or unless there was an emergency, you know, traffic alert. All roads were blocked. All lanes were blocked. You know, something big was happening. Then Bob would let me come on.
When did you get to start doing more of the being a part of the show personality type thing here?
I think it was when Spike took over, when Spike Odell took over.
Okay.
Spike, you know, more laid back. He was more laid back, and he kind of wanted some humor and more humor into the show. And let us kind of speak up when you wanted to mm-hmm. and throw yourself in the fire or whatever. And then, of course, everybody after that, you know, from Jonathan Brandmeier, Kathy and Judy, I worked with as well, Steve Cochran, you know, all of them, were more a part.
Were you comfortable doing that at first, or did you kind of have to get comfortable doing that?
I think I had to get comfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's awkward when, I mean, you know, you have a daughter.
Yeah.
When you start talking about your kids, and then
right.
everybody starts asking you about your kids and information about your kids, and then I'm like, how much do I tell about my kids?
How can you share?
How can I do this without yeah. them? You know, especially when they became teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh gosh, you know, I don't want to embarrass my kids. And then I'd get to the school to pick up the kids, and they'd be like, oh, Mary, I heard you on the radio talking about Kelsey, you know, and she did this
weird.
And she did that. And yeah. I'm like, ah. And then Kelsey would be like, Mom, what'd you do now? And I'd be, yeah. So you have to be careful. There's a fine line.
Did your kids, I mean, were they really interested in what you were doing as they were growing up, or
no,
no,
no, I don't think so. I think they just wanted, you know, kids are, they just want you to be there for them, and they want you to be there. Like, so I tried to, you know, cause I was done working by 11 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I started at 4:00. So I was done. So I had the kids all after school. I was a coach. I did a lot of coaching. I did a lot of volunteering at the school. It was a Catholic school. You have to volunteer.
Yeah.
Everybody has to do that. You know, I was involved on a lot of committees. I did a lot to be there for the kids. And I think to this day, my kids always say, Mom, how did you do that? How did you make it to all of my choir concerts? Or how did you make it to my track meets, my cross country meets, my basketball games, my volleyball? I'm like, well, first of all, I had a good schedule because I, you know,
yeah.
I got home in time to make it. But I tell you, when that night stuff, when you go to their night thing, I was mm-hmm. half asleep. I mean, I was just like, please, Lord.
But you were there.
But I was there.
Yeah.
And that to me is the most important thing in my career, that I could do both. And I could be there for my kids, and I hope they're thankful for that.
I know when I talk to you and we kind of catch up on things with our families and stuff, I kind of take that too. And I learn from you. I'm just going to get a little like sentimental here, but like the putting family first. And when I had, you mentioned my daughter, you know, everything kind of recalibrated for me. And fortunately, we work somewhere where they let you kind of prioritize a lot of that for the most part.
Yeah. And you can stay home with her sometimes when
yeah.
she's sick.
Yeah. Right. And that's something that if I were to ever, you know, knock on wood, don't have to, but go somewhere else, that's going to still be at the top of the list. Like, I want to be a good dad.
Yeah.
When you
good.
Do that. We're getting a little short on time here, and I know it flew by. We might have to do a part two, but
it's been a long career.
So maybe we do a part two at some point if you're up for it.
That's fine.
But before we leave, what if someone was interested in what you do? What advice would you have for them?
Oh boy, I don't. Ooh. Well, learn the roads. Learn about the roads. Learn to talk fast. That's a really good question. I don't know. Learn to like what you do and make it interesting. Even if it's boring, always make it sound interesting.
Yeah.
And I also do voiceover work on the side. And that's
– that's why we need to do it
part two.
But exactly.
Yeah, you know, the same thing. You kind of got to act a little bit. you know, once in a while. So do some improv or something fun like that.
Well, and you get to sometimes. You do dance too. Like, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
See, we need a part two after this.
Yes, you know, I'm old. I've been at it for a long time.
Well,
you know?
Thank Michael. You very much for doing this. I really
sure,
appreciate it. We are going to schedule a part two because there's like a whole bunch of WGN radio stuff we didn't even get
to. Oh, boy. That's scary.
Maybe.
If I remember things.
But thank you very much for doing this.
You're welcome. It was fun.
I think there are going to be a lot of WGN radio listeners and just people interested in what you do that are going to take some stuff from this. So that's kind of the whole point of it. So with that said, thank you to everyone for listening. And we'll be back again next week with the Career Conversations podcast. I'm Michael Piff. Thanks again.